Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for everyone that He's mightily working through. I thank the Lord for you that He's preparing to do His perfect work. It will be blessed. You will see the mighty move of God in your life. And I thank God for everyone who cooperates with the Holy Spirit. I never take lightly what God can do in a person's life. You won't be the first person to be surprised at His handiwork, because everybody who He calls and who follows Him and goes forward, the Lord changes things because of them. People live because of those who take God at His word and trust Him. And I thank God for everyone who will do that. The Lord gave me an interesting topic today, and He wants to move in people's lives. And He moved on me to talk about holy anger. You know, the enemy is trying to stop the work of God. And we have souls on the line. We're thinking about the people, the next generation. Our school system has been compromised since 1960 when they voted to take prayer out of school. Now remember, look at it this way. During World War I and World War II, there was no mention about taking prayer out of school, because anybody in that era of time, they would have got you told. That was a time the nation was praying, because they didn't know whether they'd have a country at the end of that war. It was so bad that the army and the military branches, they got ideas from school students. I'll never forget that. They talked about how they got military ideas from school children. They wanted everybody's input. And they looked it over and they used some of them. Because sometimes you don't have the answers. And that was one time they used human resources properly. And when the men went to war, women made the airplanes and they worked in factories. And our culture changed. Women started wearing pants in those days because you can't wear a dress in a factory. Anyway, a lot of things happened because of that war. And, even our enemies, the Germans at that time, Hitler had a freeway built, the Autobahn, the first freeway in the world. And I think it was Eisenhower who saw it. And he came back and he moved to have freeways in our country. A lot of good things have happened because of the challenge of war. But that's not why it happened. It was an answer to prayers. And things happened to take the country forward. Well, 20 years later, 15, 20 years later after the war is won, people prospered like never before. And the economy was more stable. And everybody could eat beans and meat. And, even poor people did better than people in some wealthy people in other countries. And so when things was on the rise, man, just like he always does, gets beside himself. Well, we don't need God now. We made it. And how wrong were they? Holy anger happens when people turn. Because when you turn from God, you don't just turn yourself. You have influence and you're going to turn other people with you. So when preachers don't preach the word of God the way it's written, they don't just compromise. We already know in part. We already have that disadvantage. But the Holy Spirit can work with us if we're willing to learn. Though we know in part, the Lord has other people that know things that we don't. And He can still get the job done. But when people ignore the Holy Spirit to do wrong on purpose, that's going to be a problem. And that doesn't have to be. The Lord doesn't, a lack of knowledge doesn't aggravate God as much when people don't know better. He's not going to fuss at a child because of something he don't know. But God expects us to grow in His ways, grow and learn and change, not for His benefit, but for ours. And if we take time to learn things properly, He can use us in a greater way. Everybody's responsible for their own salvation. He won't hold you accountable for somebody else's salvation unless He told you to do something and you decided not to do it, and you put something else first. And consequences follow that kind of disobedience, because you have an inner witness of the healing of God in you, within you. You know that no matter what people do, and no matter how far people drift away from God, you have the inward witness of the process of healing that started from the time you first believed on Jesus Christ, that His blood washed your sins away. And you have that inner witness inside you. And if you decide to grow and change and mature, then you know what can happen with other people. And sometimes the Lord taught me things about peace and how to live. I asked Him, I said, "Lord, I'm not going to ask You to make my ministry better than somebody else's." Because that's, to me, that's pride. You know, it's not about how big my ministry is. I just want it to be effective. But I realized it can't be effective unless I learn how to live. And I said, "Lord, teach me how to live." Now, other ministers, they wanted to be the next Benny Hinn and the next great man of God, and they have the next TV ministry, you know. And that you know, that's what they prayed for. That was their drive. And I said, "No, I don't want that if I don't know how to live." Now, James Robinson said once that the Lord told him the worst thing that can happen. He asked the Lord, "What's the worst thing that can happen to a man?" And this was at a time after when he was tempted. And he said the Lord told him to succeed outwardly and fail inwardly. And I never forgot that. James Robinson has been a blessing to my life. His testimonies, he failed. He did some things he shouldn't have. But he talked about it, and I learned from it. Sometimes you have an opportunity to learn something you can't learn any other way. Now, this man of God asked the Lord questions. I love men of God who are open and honest and ask God questions. Now, darkness always try to hide. But in order to heal, you have to learn some things, even in order to repent. You can't fully repent like you want to unless you learn some things and take God at His word in some areas. And on the way we get to know God depends on how we, it opens the door for how we trust God. The more we get to know Him, the more we're able to trust Him. The more we're able to trust Him. And so when men of God, anybody, women of God too, when they say things that are outstanding or just plain true, I'm going to benefit from it because I hear my Father's voice in them. And when I hear my Father's voice in them, I make changes. Last night I listened to Benny Hinn. He was so frustrated about how a minister backed off of a straightforward question that Larry King asked him, you know. And it was a cowardly answer. And, you know, Larry King said, "Is Jesus the only way to heaven?" And then this preacher said, he said, "That's up to God." Now, God already plainly said that there's no other way for a man to go to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. That's our job, to tell people the truth. Now, in that instance, he was a dumb dog. You know, if you got a dog in your yard, a lot of people love the dog and they have them there. And the benefit of having a dog is the dog loves you and he'll guard your property. And you know that if the dog starts barking, you know something's happening outside. Either somebody or some animal is outside and the dog barks to it. And he's doing his job. He's You know, the Lord put it in him to bark and warn the people inside the house, to warn his master, his human companions. Now, the word of God said that preachers that won't preach the truth, they're like dumb dogs. And Benny Hinn was so upset. He said, I wanted to go through the TV and knock him out. So the Lord had me deal with talk about holy anger. It's not wrong to have holy anger. You know, God said, be angry, but sin not. The passion of, you know, Jesus went to the temple and they were selling, they turned the house of God into a den of thieves. And he braided a whip. And he beat their behind right out of the temple. Turned the tables over, the money changers. He said, the zeal of the Lord is eating me up. Where is it? We need to have that back. We need holy anger. Sometimes in life, if you're going to overcome and destroy the works of the devil, you got to get mad. You got to get mad at him. Now, we tolerate people for being different, indifferent, even wrong. But you don't have to tolerate Satan. And and I'm not afraid to call people out. When people are hypocrites and they're cowards and they're not teaching the truth, you know, I've done it on these broadcasts. All the things that I tell you that the men of God had done, they did it. Now, I love these people. I was even blessed by them. They were not failures, but they just did not follow God like they should have. And they couldn't go forward. And they worked against following God in the sense that God was commanding them to. They didn't grow they didn't take the next step in their ministry. And so God couldn't choose them to do the greater works. It's not God's fault and it wasn't God's plan. But the Lord used the situation to teach me. And I learned of something that I could not have learned unless the Lord, he put me in a position to learn these things. And so that's why I talk about following God to the people that he chooses so that they don't make the same mistakes. Now, a prophet came to me and said, the Lord taught you many things. It's not so that you can be better than others, but he taught you these things so you won't make the same mistakes that they did. See, when the Lord sent you out, first of all, the way the Lord had me to do it, people didn't like it because it didn't fit their format. You know, people want you to do what they think is right. I had to go to different churches. And some people said, well, you just church hopping. I did what God told me to do. And I don't have to apologize for it. And I won't, because I know what I saw. And I was obedient. And as long as I obey God, I'm fine. If people don't think so, that's their problem. And I know I love these men of God, and I know I tried to contend for their ministry and help them. I did all I could do. I even spent hours praying for them because I wanted to see the great move of God that I saw in those visions. But, you know, they brushed it off as if it was nothing. Holy anger. And I got angry about it, but I didn't see him. I said, well, I love him anyway. You know, well, I said, what do you want me to do now, Lord? I need to give me another church to go to. And there were times I got emotional and said, well, I don't want to do this no more. And then, because I visited a church, the Lord didn't send me there per se. I went because of a healing class. And my mother-in-law was at that time had cancer, and we went to a healing class. And the Lord said, I want you to go and give that pastor a word. I said, I don't want to meet no more pastors. I went home. And this is after the time I said I'd obey God. I went home. And I thought about how wrong I was, and I felt bad. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't do right. I shouldn't have done that. I said, I'm going back to give that man whatever word you want me to give him. So the next Sunday, I didn't plan to go back the next Sunday, but I went back. And when I went back, I got in line to talk to the pastor, and I talked to him. And he gave me a word. And it was a simple word, but it was a strategic word. And the Lord told him that he was a blessing, and he hadn't seen the half. I said, wow. And then he built a dome and paid for it cash, and it was $15 million. And I thought the ministry was outstanding the way it was, because he turned the old school into a church in Wylam. And you probably know who I'm talking about. It was Mike Moore, Faith Chapel. But I obeyed God nevertheless, and I thank God for what he's doing. I still remember the word. When the Lord do things, that encouraged me, because he was a man of honor. And he fired, and I didn't feel like I needed to tell him anything, because he was already, in fact, the Lord didn't even tell me to tell him to follow God. He just told me to tell him he hadn't seen the half. So I thank God for it. You know, when people obey God, things will fall in place. See, I learned things about the anointing also. If you start obeying God, the anointing, it always increases. And everybody who are attracted to it, it increases them. And they'll help you do what you got to do. And then the Lord will reward them for it. So when things work out, everybody who was who participated in that ministry, I know some people that would go there. They were blessed. They came out more blessed. And you can't obey God and do it his way and act and operate under the anointing and go out broke unless you falter somewhere. But if you're doing all the stand and you're helping an anointed person do their ministry according to what God gave you to do, and you're doing your part even with excellence, God is going to move on your behalf. You will be rewarded in a multiplied amount of ways. Some people, their marriages did good. And some people, the wrong people were divided from them. You know, a lot of things happen when you follow the Holy Spirit. Your light will be, what the enemy sowed in your life can be changed. The enemy sows the wrong people, the wrong friends, the wrong spouse as a weapon against you. Not in every case. A lot of times people, they lose good marriages because they're not mature. But see, if you don't go ahead and mature and you interfere with anointed people, that's not good for you. Something ain't gonna happen right for you. You'll have a mind to leave them. You'll blame them for your problems. You won't seek God, you won't mature, you won't grow up, you won't pull your weight, you won't do what you should do. And the enemy will talk to you. He's already trying to get you to not do what God wants you to do. He is fighting the move of God. And you can't let people drag you backwards. Holy anger. When you contend for the faith, a lot of things happen. Immaturity is a weapon. It's kind of like laziness. Laziness is a death. Everybody that grows in laziness, they get worse and worse till they die. All right, let me put it this way. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, your body will get stronger and you'll develop muscles. If you take time to learn a profession, your brain is growing. It's learning to operate at a better capacity. And it's maturing. All right, when that's not happening, you start losing, you start forgetting more, you're not as sharp, you're not as smart. And then if this concept of being rich so you won't have to do nothing, if you wasn't doing nothing, your muscles won't grow. Now, I've seen a lot of people that were farmers, and they fought the land, they are some of the strongest people in the world. that was a weightlifter that wanted to lift bales of hay. He was a weightlifter, but he wanted to run behind the tractor and throw bales of hay on the tractor. He thought that would be a good way of exercise. And then he had a new respect for farmers, because the farmer could do it. He was used to it. After he threw a few bales of hay on that tractor, he was wore slapped out. Even though he was built up and he was strong because he was lifting weights, but his body wasn't used to that kind of work. See, you can probably punch a farmer in the face and he might shake it off. And when he punched you in the face, you going down. You know, especially people that wrestle cows and, you know, cowboys, they brand cows, they are tough. People who dig the dirt, your body gets stronger. But when you're lazy, you're not active. When you're not active, you get weaker. Your once lean body will grow fat and sloppy and weak. But when you're active, when you do things, you're growing and you're maturing. When people decide to be immature and always want somebody to do something for them, and they decide not to ever serve anybody else, that kind of immaturity is going to be the end of them. And they'll walk away from good situations. People that love them, they won't do their part. They won't love the people back. They get complacent. The enemy always can talk to them, because they won't never, they're not resistant to evil. Even, they may love God, they may sing the songs and quote scriptures, but they won't do it. Holy anger. God doesn't want to see his people lose. But when they keep on doing, the immaturity will become rebellion. The enemy is gonna start whispering in your ear, if God loves you, why does he let all this stuff happen to you? Your rebellion did that. Your decision not to grow up did that. Your decision not to encourage your home did that. When you should have been giving your spouse good advice, you took all the attention upon yourself. I'm not talking about being perfect, but I'm talking about being biblical. You know, if we love each other according to 1 Peter, you know, that whole book should be one chapter anyway. But if you study chapter 1, since they divided up, we'll use it for a reference. If you get a good grip on chapter 1, you can see how it can affect every relationship according to that wisdom. Everything God give you to do, you can be a blessing to your people. And you take the position of a servant and not the position of being served. You know, it says likewise, the same pattern. And it talked to the women first. It said likewise, you women, you wives, be subject to your own husband. Now, it's following the pattern of chapter 1. And he put the wives first because they were the most prone to obey God. And then as it goes on down, it gives the husband the same strategy. Likewise, ye husbands, deal with them according to the same knowledge. And then it talks about that and lists the responsibilities of a husband. See, the responsibilities of a husband and a wife is different. They have different MOs. They have different abilities, callings. They do different things to serve the marriage, to serve each other, to serve the family. And then it went on and talked about, everybody is somebody's child. Likewise, your children, obey your parents in the Lord. Same pattern of chapter 1. The way Jesus loved us is the way we're going to love. We're going to use the same pattern that he uses to honor God and serve man. That's how we're going to do it. It takes maturity. And if you mature, you will not cause God to be angry with you in your ways. You're going to bless the Lord and you're going to bless your people. I've watched people who are mature can do much greater than people who refuse to grow up. Now, does God love the man that's not mature? He loves him a lot. He loves people that are immature. He just can't help them sometimes. They get in trouble and they cause trouble and they die early and they die hard. They die when they don't have to. They don't fortify. You can't wish Satan out of your life. You have to put him out, and you have to do it biblically. You can't give him place. You can't give him room in your mind. You can't adopt his thoughts. Now, in Ezekiel, this is a real good example of holy anger. Ezekiel chapter 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of God, of the Lord God, fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of the appearance of fire, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by the lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he to me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go afar off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he to me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, the door. And he said to me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he to me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say the Lord seeth us not, the Lord forsaketh the earth. He said also unto me, turn yet thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. And when he said, and then said he to me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, and their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to see the house of Judah, that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Now what happened to them, God is not going to hear. They came to Ezekiel's house, and the Lord showed them why he's not going to hear them. He gave them over to their own ways. They will die. They are in hell. They had no repentance, and the Holy Spirit didn't help them out. They resisted God. They put forth the evil that they did. God didn't do that. This was their choice, their own choice. God had nothing to do with that choice that they chose. But he did have something to do with what he chose. And they underestimated God. They thought God didn't see them. They said God left the earth, and they did what they felt was best. And they were wrong. Now, when people go too far with their unrepentant ways, God will harden their heart, and he won't help them repent. And they'll have a mind to do whatever it is they're doing, and you can't talk them out of it. Holy anger. Holy fire. Holy anger. Ezekiel saw the fire in his bosom, downward and upward. He saw the brightness of his anger in his bosom. And then the Lord showed him why he was angry and said in verse 18 what he'd do. Therefore will I also deal in my fear. In fury mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. The lukewarm church will be spit out because they spit God out of their life. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to move in your life, and he will take you as far as you'll go. Remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.